Hey man, say man, hey man, say man. Welcome back to another episode. Don't forget to like, share, sponsor, you know what I'm saying, all that good stuff. Send voice messages, but let's begin this episode. Today's episode not gonna be a long one. We're gonna talk about my predictions for the 2020 NBA playoffs. So let's begin in the East. I'm gonna do a YouTube video on this most likely too, so first, we're going to do number one seed versus number eight seed, the Milwaukee Bucks versus Orlando Magic. I'm getting to the Bucks. A good little shoot going on, 4-0. This is only going to be the first round prediction. I ain't going to do the, I might do the whole playoffs. I don't know. I'll probably do the whole playoffs. Yeah, I'll just go ahead and do the whole playoffs. So the Bucks versus the Magic. The Magic really have no chance. They might win a game like they did last year. Didn't they play them last year and they won a game? They played some, no, they played the Nets last year, I think, and won a game. But Magic have no chance of winning this. So I really see this. I don't know who I really. I really see a lot of other teams play versus. So I really see Grizzlies play versus them. This is why they need to have get rid of East versus West, because the sorry East, and just have the top 16 teams play, because nobody want to see these boring ass niggas play in a home court, because they technically got home court advantage if you want to think about it. But shit, Giannis gonna go crazy. Can't nobody stop Giannis. The only thing I can see Orlando might having some type of chance to win a game is that pick and pop game with him and with point guard and with DJ Augustine Vukovic, because the way the Bucks defense play, they play a real drop heavy defense, which means on a pick and roll, whoever the center is, Brook Lopez, Yandis, or Robin Lopez, whenever they're putting a pick and roll, the big man drops and the point guard tries to fight over the screen. So a lot of times that pick and pop is going to be open, just depending on how good the DJ Augustine and Markelle Fultz can read the defense and play it right. That's really like the only chance I can see them of even winning the game. Just depends on how good a big man will be able to shoot between Vukovic and Gordon. And I think Mobamba is out, so not Mobamba. So, I mean, they really don't have no chance. So, there's really not no much to really talk about. Number two is the Raptors versus the Nets again. I don't even understand how the Nets are a 7 seed with all the injuries they have. But we're not even going to talk. They went 7-3 in their last 10 games. I don't understand how. But Raptors in a sweep. The Nets, who they best? All they have is what? Caris LeVert on their team right now. And hurt Jamal Crawford. So, yeah, I don't expect them to even get a game on the Raptors. Raptors, probably the best defensive team in the league, even with not even having, like, they got an amazing defense player with OG, Pascal, Marcus Shaw, Serge Ibaka, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. Fred VanVleet is a very underrated defender. You know he's a small player. He's a very underrated defender. Kyle Lowry, even though I hate fat Kyle Lowry, he's a very underrated defender as well. So it's crazy how much of a team and how much together they is. Like, They kind of, offensively, they don't remind me of the old Spurs team, but defensively, I mean, they do pass the ball a lot. They just play so well together. They're like a well-oiled machine together. Like, Nick Nurse, I know people don't give Nick Nurse so much credit, because he deserved to be coach of the year with Billy Donovan. Mike Budenholzer did not deserve to be coach of the year at all. They only won three more games with less injuries, less rotational. Like, they would have technically better player. We have the best player in the league and Giannis technically. So I don't believe that he should have won coach of the year, but it's gonna be a clean sweep. The Raptors are too much for the Nets to handle. The 3-6 matchup. Now Celtics versus 76ers. Now originally, if Embiid and Simmons wasn't hurt, I would pick the 76ers in 7. But since Simmons is hurt and Embiid's come off an injury, and I don't see how Horford can be able to guard Jason Tatum. They probably have to bring him off the bench. I don't even see how Tobias Harris can guard Jason Tatum. I don't see how they can match up good with the Celtics, to be honest. So I see the Celtics in maybe 5. I give the Celtics in 5 just because I know Embiid is gonna have probably some breakout games, maybe even 6. I know it's not gonna be no easy series. I'm not gonna say this not gonna be no wash, because they do still have the best big man in the league in Embiid. They still do have a good score in Tobias Harris. They still got Josh Richardson. Shake Milton been going crazy. Al Horford still is a savvy vet, but I just don't see them being able to beat them in a 7-game series. I see the Celtics I feel like the Celtics, I think they're putting it all together now. They got a better, they got a good teammate in Kemba. They got two people they go in the clutch with, Kemba and Jason Tatum. Jaylen Brown is coming along. Marcus Smart is coming along. Everybody is coming along. They're progressing. Jason Tatum, Jason Tatum breakout season. And to me, Jaylen Brown breakout season too. Gordon Hayward back on track. He had a good bubble. Daniel Tice is progressing. Ennis Cantor is playing better. So, I mean, they got that one boy, Greg Williams, going crazy. Like, I can really want a maker. So, I can see them beating the Celtics and beating the 76ers in five. I can see that happen. But if they did in six, I wouldn't be surprised. But I got Celtics in five. Pacers and Heat is going to be a good series. But I got the Heat in six just because I fight like the Raptors, they're a well-oiled machine. Like, of course, they got their star player in Jimmy Butler, just like the Raptors got. Pascal Siakam is a star player, their best player. But they have a bunch of good second and third options and a bunch of good role players. Like, you still have Duncan Robinson, who's probably the best shooter in the league right now, besides Curry and Klay and, you know what I'm saying, a couple other people. But percentage-wise, just the way he plays, he's probably one of the top five shooters in the league right now. You got Duncan Robinson, you got Bam, who's an up-and-coming star. He was a crazy big man. If he gets a jump shot, oh, my God, Bam is going to be unstoppable because he can run point. He can do all the other things. You still got the savvy vet and Gorgon Dragic, who still can get you 12 to 17 points a game. You still go crazy for it. You got Kendrick Nunn. You got Tyler Hero. You got still got savvy vet and Iggy. Like, they got the defense. They got the off day. I watched the video on YouTube, Coach Daniel. I'm going to start doing breakdowns, too, because I feel like I love watching them type of videos, so I feel like I can do. I love like breaking stuff down as myself, so I feel like, and I'm good at explaining stuff, so I want to do that to myself. But the Heat, they run like they not like the 14 Spurs, but the way they have, they average the second most passes in the NBA. They average one of the top five to assist teams in the NBA, and I feel like they have too much talent for the Pacers because Sabonis not back. I mean, Sabonis is hurt. T.J. Warren been going stupid now. Don't get me wrong. T.J. Warren been going, even lighting that show up, boy. But I feel like the Heat are too much. And you seen the one in the last, they shut T.J. Warren down. And Victor Oladipo still hasn't returned to form yet. Malcolm Brogdon still coming, trying to recover back from injury. T.J. McConnell been having a decent bubble. Holiday been having a decent bubble. But I just feel like without Sabonis, they really don't have no chance down low stopping Bam and who's their backup? I think they got Kelly Olynyk. I don't know. Stopping Bam down low. So I give this to the Heat in six, maybe even five, but I don't see this. I don't see none of these first round series going into a seven games. I really don't. So we're going to get to the Western Conference. Nah, we can finish. Should I do the whole thing? No, I'm just do the first round. Just the first round during as the rounds go. And then we can build it. No, I'll go ahead. My full breakdown is going to be on YouTube about, like, the whole playoffs. But then I'm just going to do my podcast round by round. So, the Western Conference, you got the number one seed, Lakers, 52-19 versus number eight, Trailblazers, who barely snuck in there. It was a close race between the Spurs, Suns, Grizzlies, and Trailblazers. But the Trailblazers beat the Grizzlies to get out there. So, I believe I want everybody. The Blazers are a team you want to win. You root and pray for them every year to win, but they always missing a couple pieces. I feel like it's really they need something, and they need a lot of things. But I'm gonna give it to the Lakers probably in a 4-game sweep. I know Lakers been struggling in the bubble, but I just believe they was just coasting in the bubble because what do they really have to play for? Like, they had nothing to play for. Like, they had the number one seed locked up. No one's going to get the second seed because the Clippers were struggling just a little bit in the bubble, too. So, I feel like they had nothing to play for. They was just coasting, to be honest with you. So, I still get the Lakers in a sweep versus Trailblazers. LeBron's, one thing I really say, the Blazers don't have that wing defender. I know they have Trevor Ariza, but I didn't really see Trevor Ariza play too much in the bubble like that. I know he played, but he didn't play too much. Gary Trent really got all the minutes, so I don't believe they had that wing defender to stop LeBron. Nurkic and the Whiteside can slow. I ain't gonna say they're gonna stop AD, but they can. You know what I'm saying? They can do that. They're a viable matchup versus AD, but and versus Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee, and all them big boys. But I feel like they big men do match up good, but I feel like the wings don't match up good versus LeBron. And even like CJ, and I don't feel like he matches up good, because Lakers are a huge team. Like, everybody on their team is like 6'4", 6'5". Everyone is tall as hell. I think Wade's like 6'5", JR like 6'6". Caruso might be the shortest person. And since Avery Bradley hurt, Caruso might be the shortest person on the team, like it's 6'4", 6'5". So they have a big lineup. So, and the Lakers, I mean, Trailblazers don't do that good versus them huge, huge lineups. Because they usually, like at the end of games, they might run something like Dame, CJ, Gary Trent, Carmelo, and maybe Nurkic. So I feel like Lakers going to get this in the sweep. I feel like it's not going to be like a sweep. Like, everything going to be a blow. I feel like it's going to be competitive games just because of Dame and CJ. And they're not going to let that happen like that. But I feel like it's going to be a competitive game. It's going to be fun seeing Carmelo versus LeBron one more time, though. That would be a nice thing to see. Number two matchup, the Clippers versus the Mavericks. I feel like this is going to be a very, very underrated series. Like, I feel like this ain't the Mavericks year, but give them about a year or two when they get everybody, because like, they lost Jalen Brunson, they lost Dwight Powell. But I feel like they need one more free agency or one more, like, decent role player. And I feel like they'll be there. They just need, like, one more of the role player, because they really only have... They got Luka as the main ball handler. Then you got Kristaps as the second scorer. And their third scorer is probably Tim Hardaway. And after that, the scoring gets very very plays heavy. They don't have any people that can create on their own offense. And they don't... And no, like, no real vets. They got players that have been in the league about 3, 4, 5 years. They don't have, like, no super veterans on the team. They don't have that many veterans. And I feel like they need some more veterans on that team. But I'll say this probably be, like, a 5-game series, maybe 6. I don't really see it going 6 just because, you know, Kawhi is a different animal in the playoffs. You know, everybody's talking about LeBron when he get in the playoffs. Kawhi is a different animal when he get in the playoffs. No more restriction, none of that. Kawhi is a different animal when he gets in the playoffs. And I believe Patrick Beverly coming back. Again, they're going to be fully healthy versus the Mavericks. I just don't see how the Mavericks. It's going to be probably a 5-game series, but it's going to be a competitive 5-game series. Not like how some of the East games are going to be with like the Nets and stuff. It's going to be a competitive 5-game series, but I give it a clear. I feel like they just have too much talent. But don't sleep on the Mavericks, though. I wouldn't be surprised if they can go to a 7-game series, to be honest with you. Because they're getting there. The Mavericks with KP and Luka is nothing to sleep on. That's two of the top 15 players in the league. People sleep on KP for real. Two of the top 15, how Luka been throwing a triple-double left and right. But I just feel like the Clippers are too much for the Mavericks handlers in the 7-game series. Now, Nuggets versus the Jazz. This is like all these series are going to be competitive series. Like, none of these series probably is going to just be sweeps or just lucky games. Like, all these are going to be competitive games. But the Nuggets versus the Jazz, I got the Nuggets winning in 6. And I really put that between the success they had last year, the success they've been having. And then with the emergence of that star wing player that can get them buckets. They needed that wing player that can get them buckets. They don't really have a wing player that can get them buckets. Now, this is if, I'll say they can win in 5 if Will Barton and Gary Harris come back. I don't want to say Gary Harris, because really Michael Porter Jr. probably going to take Gary Harris minutes. And it depends on how healthy both one of them can come back. One of them come back healthy and playing at some type of rate they was playing before, even better. I feel like it's going to be a 5-game series. But because the Jazz, they just lost Myles Conley. He might come back. Bogdan out. I think someone, Ed Davis got hurt. They have too many injuries right now. And I feel like their chemistry still isn't all the way there. Because, you know what I'm saying, they just look different. Like, I feel like they don't got that same feel to them. Like, when I'm watching the bubble game, I just feel like they don't have that same, like, on the screen, on the ball type thing like they usually have. Like, they always like a team. And I didn't really see that too much in the bubble. So I feel like the Nuggets gonna get that definitely with the merger of Michael Porter Jr. I feel like they don't have Royce O'Neal on him, but who's gonna guard Jamal? Who's gonna guard? And then, you know, Rudy, he don't do too good versus that pick and pop thing like all, because he plays a real drop heavy. He's a great pick and roll defender. Don't get me wrong. He's not slow footed at all. But I feel like once he plays in that drop defense, he's not as good anymore. He take him out of his element. Then you got someone like Jokic. And then they might even sneak Bobo in there, who's a great, great shooter. And what they do, they might sneak Bobo. And he don't like playing all the way out to that three-point line. Rudy Gobert hate playing out to that three-point line. Because his thing is the paint defender. He stopped paints even without blocking shots. So That's going to be, it's got to attack him with Jamal Murray coming back healthy and he's getting back into his run. I just feel like they have too much talent for the Jazz. And I feel like they're going to be too upbeat. And I feel like they got too many shooters because the Jazz don't play good versus shooters. You a big man, per se. Because when they went against Carlton Town was lighting Rudy Gobert ass up from back there. So probably the most intriguing matchup, the 4 and 5 between the Rockets and Thunder. Yeah, you know you got the history between Russell and the Thunder. Then you got Chris Paul getting traded because of Russell. And this, that, this, and that. And then last, was it not 2 years ago in the playoffs? Something like 2 or 3 years ago. So I have the Rockets and... Actually, I just thought about Russell not going to play in the first round. It's just going to be James Harden. But still, Chris Paul and James Harden. So, I give it to the Rockets in 6. Maybe even 7. I feel like people are sleeping on the Thunder. They might be one of the little sleeper teams. Because they play so good together. They play like a team. You got Chris Paul running the show. You got Shea, who got basically the green light. Dennis Schroeder, who got the green light. I think he's back. You got Gallinari, who's a great shooter. I just want to see, because this is going to be, I feel like it's going to be a high scoring game, but I feel like the Rockets still going to be able to outscore them just because of James Harden and his ability to break down the defense, his ability to pass it out to shooters and all that. But we're going to see, because you know how James Harden get when he gets to the playoffs, he starts slowing down, even though he, you know, he still got top 5 in minutes every year. So we're going to see. I feel like the break might have helped him though, because usually he'd be worn down by the second round, but we're going to see how the break helped him. But I feel like, man, if they got a better coach than Mike D'Antoni, they can out-coach Billy Donovan. Even though Billy Donovan is a good he's showing that he's a good coach this year. So I just trying to, how is it? I guess he got his personnel that he want around him now. I guess he wanted the personnel that he had when Russell and Paul George, they wasn't the right personnel. I always said that wasn't the right personnel around Russell. They didn't have enough shooter. The only shooter they had really was Paul George. And Jeremy Grant was just starting to develop a jump shot. So I always said they never had the right talent and the right team around Russell. The best team he had, he never really had shooters. Like, the 1 year they had KD and they had Thabo Sefolosha was coming around, James Harden, Serge Ibaka, he only had a midi back. They're like, they never had the right team around him. Like, Russell never had a floor spacing big. Yes, Stevie Adams had great chemistry together. Don't get me wrong, but Russell needs space. That's why in the Rockets, when they put him, he need the ball in his hands off the catch where he can attack. That was the best position. He never had that in OKC. But now Billy Donovan, he has a spacing around him. Yes, he still got Stevie Adams, but he got a space shooting floor in Gallinari. His 3 can shoot. His 4 can shoot. His 2 can shoot. Like, everybody on the team around him can shoot. So, besides, like, Diallo and Dort isn't the greatest. He's like 32-33%. He's just passive, but instead of Terrence Ferguson, you got Dort, who's a better shooter. You got Shea, who's a great shooter. You got Dennis Schroeder, he's not the best shooter, but he can shoot on. He's respectable out there. Like, they got people around him that can shoot now, so it's like, we got Mike Muscala, who could have been around Russell Westbrook. But now they have more shooters, so they can space the floor now, which works perfect for Billy Donovan and his offense. Let Chris Paul do his thing, because, you know, Chris Paul probably the greatest point guard of all time. One of the greatest top 3 point guards of all time. Point guard. I don't know why people don't give him the respect that he deserved. Playing, what, 34, 35, still going crazy like he is. Shea coming into his own, but I still give it to Ryan. I feel like James Harden be too much. I feel like I don't see no one on the... Of course, no one can stop James Harden, but I don't see how they can... Because the way their offense... The way OKC defense is shaped up, they give you the mid-range shot. And I feel like you give James Harden any type... You can't give James Harden a shot because they have, like... They give it, like, the most mid-range shots in the league type thing, but it's effective for them because that's technically the worst shot, but... James Harden hit you with that step back and get to that 3, or he can go past you. So they play in a real heavy drop type defense as well, and they try to play over the top, fight over screens. But I give it to them, and I feel like it's gonna be a competitive series. This might be the most competitive series out of all these. It's probably the most competitive series in the playoffs, to be honest with you. Probably besides who was that East? Probably size the Pacers and the Heat, because that's going to be a competitive. It might be a quick series, but it most likely be a competitive series. So, that's my first round predictions. Oh, boy, this thing ain't even short at all. But hey, man, say, man, that's the end of the podcast. All right.
Don't forget, like, share, comment, send voice messages. And don't forget to go to my YouTube. It's going to be in the description. Hey, Orlando. Don't forget to like, comment, share, subscribe, all that to that. Don't forget to go to Instagram if you want to join the podcast on special guest Sundays or Mondays. Don't forget to go Southside Apparel, shop for merch. All right, we y'all on. All right, I'll catch up with y'all.